Navigating life can be challenging. It helps to have some life skills to navigate the challenges of life. People who come to church or profess faith or think about being a Christian or considering it, life skills as a Christian would certainly be not only helpful, but I think it might give us a sense of joy and victory as Christians. During the month of September, Christ Church, we have been focusing on life skills from the letter of James. James was the brother of Jesus, and we've got a little brother here, Cameron. Maybe you are a brother, maybe you've had a sister or brother, maybe you're an only child. In any case, James, who wrote the letter in the Bible, is the brother of Jesus, who we worship. So his affectionate name was Old Camel Knees. Now, I'm not going to ask to see everybody's knees. We got weird-shaped knees sometimes. But this guy's knees were even weirder because he spent a lot of time doing this, talking to his brother. But his brother wasn't just his brother. He was the risen Lord Jesus. He was the Messiah, the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So today, as we celebrate the baptism, we're connecting Cameron's baptism into Jesus Christ, into Christ's family, the church. And as Cameron grows, you see the banner over there, grows, may his faith in Jesus and our faith as a church family grow too, because you're going to get bigger. So we are also wondering, who's the greatest? Muhammad Ali. You see a picture of my son, Justin. He was there taking a picture of Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky was promoting some line of clothing. It's called Untucked Shirts. Ooh. Or maybe it's Mother Teresa or Deadpool. I don't know who you think's the greatest, you know? Or maybe it's your cat who's the greatest. Or maybe the cat thinks they're the greatest. Cats are like that. So we've been focusing on Old Camel Knees, the sermon series for September, Life Skills from James. The first life skill we're looking at was about faith without works is dead. So go out and help someone. Now maybe you already do. I wish more Canadians would sign their donor cards or become organ donors or give blood. I'm not saying I'm a saint, but I have done this. I have done this very thing, and I feel so good when I go and donate blood. It really feels good. You're with a bunch of people who are actually giving for no reason. It cost you time. It didn't get anything back. So go and do something. Whatever. I don't know what it is. Maybe that's the thing that you can do. Faith without works is dead. Number two, faith in Jesus means taming the tongue and the thumb, texting. Cyberbullying accounts for a great and growing number of people who are depressed or dealing with issues at home because they carry this silly thing with them and they can be bullied on it. So taming the tongue and taming the thumb, or however many fingers you text with, is rather important. So here's this Bible teaching from a way long time ago, 2,000 years ago, and yet here's James touching on the nerve of today, taming the, and of course, hard to do that without God's help. So our faith in Jesus helps tame the tongue. And we came up with a little rap song, Don't Be a Bully, Be a Blessing. Don't be a bully, be a blessing. Number three, life skills. Faith is wisdom from heaven. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I mentioned somebody who was a math teacher of mine. He was also a church leader. And he spoke to me one day and he said, I'm going to tell you something that's meant a lot to me, and it has meant a lot to me now. I've listened to this word of wisdom, and it was this. In every stage of life, find the joy. In every stage of life, find the joy. Sometimes hard when your kid's screaming and you're not getting enough sleep. I know what that's like. Find the joy that you actually have a son, or whatever the circumstances are. It's hard to find the joy, but that's what faith does. It helps lift you beyond your feelings to a whole new place. It's the place of trust in God. Trust in God. So today we're looking at faith is practical to pray every day. And we heard some steps on that, and we'll get to that in a minute, right after our skit. So we have some voices helping me with my skit. I am now no longer Pastor Kit. I am Tom in this little play. And Tom is about to sit down and attempt to pray. Here I go. Yes, sirree, I'm going to say my prayers today. is that right? Do you have to do that? Or maybe it's this. There we go. Head down. No, maybe it's head up. Head down. up, down, up, down, up. Up, okay, hit up. Now I'm going to pray, and I'm going to have my eyes open. No, closed. Open, closed, open, closed. Oh. Okay, my head's up, and my eyes are open. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God Almighty. It sounds like a talking prayer book. You know, like old-fashioned language. God, it's Tom, and I know you haven't heard from me for a while. I don't know what to say. There's just so many problems in the world, and you already know what I and you already know everything about me anyway.
Tom!
Not now, dear. I'm praying. Okay, okay, just give me a minute, all right? God, thank you for my family who are so peaceful and kind.
Dad, please pull my hair again. Make him stop. Dad, now!
Let me rephrase that, God. I know there are people who I need to pray for. Ron lost his job. Well, I don't know how to say this.
The fuses, Tom. Am I supposed to cook candles?
Cooking with candles. Well, I'm still trying to pray about this. Maybe my son has something to say. So big deal, I'm praying. It's a miracle. The Tiger Cat scored a touchdown. I don't believe it. I have to go watch the instant replay because I know I'm supposed to be praying. So no distractions, no excuses. And I pray like I promised. No football. No football for now. Oh, and I heard about there was a murder and there was another shooting in Toronto. And there's so many terrible things going on in the world. I don't feel like there's anything I can do. There's nothing I can do about it. The world problems are so big.
You can start with the fuse box. And my hair.
Sorry, God. Maybe tomorrow. Do I hear a phone ringing? I do hear a phone ringing. Where'd my phone go? There it is. Hello?
Hi, Tom.
Who's this?
The one you just hung up on.
Who?
This is God.
Oh, since when did you get a long distance plan from heaven? Well, you heard it. There's too many important things to do here. I can't leave my family and all the terrible news. There's nothing I can do about it. What can one person do about it?
Tom, you could have prayed about it.
What good would that do?
Tom, I think you need to understand better the power of prayer.
Okay. I'm listening. Let's hear it for our voices. God was played by Dave. And we had, I don't know, Emily over there, and if it was Sarah helping out, and thank you, Catherine, Sarah, thank you. Great, and Mark Blackman, thank you very much. So prayer is actually kind of practical and is part of everyday life and can be applied. Not only part of everyday life, it can be part of every moment of life, every challenge that's going on in life. And my friend, the Reverend Phelan Scanlon, wrote that Prayer Anyone skit. So James has a guide to prayer, and he has these four things that he's saying up there. Are you hurting? Pray. My guess is that out of the 70 people who are here today, some of you are hurting. Maybe you're hurting physically. Maybe you're hurting emotionally. Maybe you're hurting socially because of some issue in your life or some concern. We talked about that last week with the children's focus about where you feel like you're fitting in or not. Maybe you're hurting spiritually. You're really, really wrestling with life. Because in any gathering of people, there are going to be people who are hurting. You've come to the right place. People think I have to have it all together or I have to be a good person to go to church. The opposite. People who come to church are actually people in need. So we have this thing called prayer, where we open ourselves and even our hurts. As Philip Yancey, the writer, wonderful writer, said, sometimes the only thing I can give God are my wounds. My wounds. So there's going to be some prayer said for Cameron, but we'll leave a pause. We'll leave an openness as the Spirit leads us, and perhaps there's something on your mind you'd like to just give over to God, or maybe you want to talk to me afterwards about it, or send me an email, but whatever it is, or come on the Alpha Course, for those who are on the Alpha Course, think about who this Jesus is, who really is so interested in us. He invites us to pray and invite heaven, the power of heaven, into your life to bring you the thing that you need. He's not a magician, but he loves you. And he wants to heal your hurts. Faith is very practical. It's very much interested in your life. Secondly, James talks about, do you feel great? Sing and praise. You know, we have these flags over here, and some of the kids are beginning to wave the flags during the opening worship songs and things like that. And it's great to be able to do that and to not feel afraid to do that. I think the purpose sometimes of sporting events like watching the Leafs, the Jays, the Raptors, women's basketball, women's hockey, whatever it might be, cheering actually kind of frees up something in us, and we feel uninhibited to actually get cheerful and joyful. And you know what? God is so much better than the Leafs or any other team. God is fantastic. God is the best person I know. So we want to sing and praise him because he walks with us throughout our lives, and singing and praising God for whatever circumstances can be such a blessing to us. Because your body language, putting your arms up, finding something, I'm the masterpiece of God. Whatever you say about yourself, however you think about yourself, when you put your body in that place, when you worship with your body, or when you think positive thoughts and use your body to express it, you get to that place of praise, even if you don't feel like it. It can actually lift you and transform you to a higher place. Are you sick? Call the church leaders to pray and anoint you. One story about this. Pray and anoint you. We're going to anoint Cameron with some oil. But the anointing oil isn't just for baptism. It's also for when people are sick. A guy named Marvin showed up at church one Sunday in a small town. Marvin was not the kind of a guy who went to church. He was the kind of guy that people would gossip about because he was a hard-living guy. He was estranged from his son. They were in the same business, but they were at odds with each other. Everybody in town knew it. It was not a very happy situation for Marvin. Guess what? He showed up in church. Got the pastor's attention, and some other people on one end of the church who were kind of gossiping about, look who's in church. Not the best attitude to have, perhaps, but it happens. So the pastor talked to Marvin after church, and Marvin said, you know that passage in the Bible that says, if you're sick, someone will anoint you? Do you believe that? And the pastor said, of course I do. I believe what the scriptures say about anointing and praying for somebody. He said, I'd like you to come to my house because I have stage 4 cancer. So the pastor and a layperson went to Marvin's house with his wife. It seemed like an odd thing to do because he'd only showed up with the one Sunday, and everyone had these opinions about him, either you're for Marvin or against Marvin. So they showed up at his home, and they read that scripture that we just heard read by Chloe. Thank you, Chloe. And James 5, verses 13 to 20. They read that out loud to him, and then the pastor asked Marvin, Marvin, do you have anything you'd like to confess? Marvin waited for a minute, and then he poured out his heart. He poured out his heart with his wife there and the stranger, the layperson, the pastor he just met. He poured out his heart, and that was part of the healing process, because then when the pastor anointed him with a little bit of oil on his forehead to remind him that he's loved by God, that Jesus died for his sins to free him, he actually showed up in church the next Sunday. And then the next Sunday. And the congregation, who had originally felt like this is a guy we could gossip about, now he was in church. Maybe we should actually talk to him. And they found that Marvin was actually a likable guy. And Marvin reconciled with his strange son. It wasn't a Kodak moment, but they actually did start talking and forgive each other again. Marvin was prayed for healing. In 6 months, he died. But how did he die? He died a richer man because he allowed himself to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit and to the work of the congregation who loved him and who loved his family and loved his wife. Now she was a widow. Do you see something lovely in that? Do you see something beautiful in that? Part of me wants to say that, oh yeah, deathbed confession, live however you want, in the last 6 months, boom, all's good. And I kind of think, you know, if you miss the opportunity of actually opening yourself to the work of God in the Spirit when you're well, you're missing all the riches of being part of a relationship with God and his family in those days and when things aren't well. Because this is a place where two or three people are gathered together and there are hurts. Where two or three people gather together and maybe there's gossip. Where two or three people are gathered together and there are issues. But the Bible also says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am. That God is there in the midst of it all. I like that about God. He's not afraid of conflict. He's not afraid of problems. He's not afraid of addictions. He's not afraid of that. In fact, he conquered death in order to free us from those very things so that we can live a more whole life. So when you confess, something to confess, be honest and pray for each other, it might be that there is something that is in your mind and in your heart that has to let go in order for the Spirit to come in and to fill you with what he wants to give you. As we go through the month of October, I'll be speaking more about what this means to be a follower of Jesus, because he's the one who makes all of those things possible. So James's guide to prayer. Are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing and praise God. Are you sick? Call the church leaders to pray and anoint you. Something to confess. Be honest and pray for each other. So who's the greatest? Is it Ryan Reynolds? I don't know. Muhammad Ali? The Bible says, and there are many, many words for God, that the greatest is God Almighty, the King of kings and Lord of lords, an everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the crucified and risen one, the Good Shepherd, the great intercessor who prays for us. Do you know that God prays for you? That Jesus prays for you? It isn't just us praying for God, that he intercedes for us. The one who calls you friend, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mother Teresa wrote, the fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. The fruit of service is peace. Would you read that verse on the scripture? If you can see those words on the scripture, I invite you to read that with me. It kind of sums up this teaching on this practical teaching on faith. Would you read it with me? The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. James 5:16. Oh, we're going to have to do it again. You missed the verse at the end. Okay, the James part. I want you to say that with me. Ready? The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. James 5:16. If the Spirit's moving you in some way, either relationally, personally, intellectually, emotionally, physically, don't miss the opportunity to give it over to God. Speak to someone in the church family. Speak to myself or Warren. We would be happy to listen. The power of prayer often begins simply with listening. If you wouldn't mind closing your eyes, and I'll lead in a prayer. Well, God, we confess to you that our lives are broken. We acknowledge that our world is in need of your healing. Send the power of your Holy Spirit into our lives. Redeem our world through the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen.